You're listening to Around Comics, episode 132.
Chicago, this is Around Comics, the comic book roundtable, where twice a week you'll hear a revolving panel of guests discuss comic books and graphic novels. On every Monday episode, just like this one, we go over the week in comic news, review our favorite books from the previous week in Top of the Stack, and take a look at what's coming out this week in Future Stacks. I'm Christopher Niesman, and joining me as always, Mr. Brian Salazar.
Sorry, I was laughing because Tom immediately opened up paper as we started the show.
To catch up on the stock market.
Fake news. It's the Onion. Oh, it's not even the real news.
Yeah. I miss the Weekly World News.
Do you?
Already, yeah.
You should try the New York Times. That's real news.
As he sits here reading the Onion. Mr. Tom Caters, how you doing?
As I finish my Sunday Times. Mm. I get on Sunday and read it all week up until the next one comes. Still have the style section, but usually it's just about opera.
Do the crossword puzzle every week?
I can't stand crossword puzzles, unless it's like a video game. I'm kidding.
Video game.
Unless it's War of Warcraft crossword puzzle, and it's dope.
And Mr. Marvel exclusive artist, Mr. Scotty Young.
I don't read fucking newspapers.
Do you read anything other than Harry Potter?
I read,
you don't read comics, you don't read newspapers.
I just read.
What do you do in the can?
I think about my money.
He doesn't even go to the bathroom. He's
I'm sitting on top of my money. Crapping in a hole made of my money.
Nice.
And reading Anita Blake. Ooh. Which reminds me that this episode of Around Comics is sponsored by Borders.
Sink your teeth into the story that introduced the world to Anita Blake, Vampire Hunter. Get your copy of Guilty Pleasures by Laurel K. Hamilton at your local Borders.
Not a book about snakes.
Borders is your home for the tastiest fantasy novels. Find a store near you at borderstores.com.
Is that book here?
Mark, do you have the Anita Blake Vampire Hunter? Yeah.
Sold out. And that must mean everyone's sold out. Don't bother looking.
Damn. So you really sold out. It just didn't ship successfully. Around Comics is recorded here at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles every Friday at 7 o'clock. Mm. It's located at 4835 Northwestern Avenue in Chicago. So you're in the area. Please drop by. Mm. We would love to meet you. All right, guys. It is time to talk about the week that was. It is time for Wire to Wire Comic Book News.
Wire to Wire Comic Book News.
All right, it is admittedly a light week in
we
news.
We confess.
Yes.
I will admit it.
Not a whole heck of a lot happened, and Scotty, we were just talking about it a couple minutes ago. Baltimore is going on right now, and the Diamond...
Retailer Summit.
Retailer Summit. So look for some announcements coming out of
my new project weekend. Is announced there this weekend. My new project.
We can't talk about it.
Scotty is pregnant. Scotty's new president.
Expecting
you know what I first man to have a fetus inserted inside of him.
That is true.
Damn it!
Oh my God! Goop. Tom figured it out.
Shit! He found my secret blog.
You've been showing.
I will say there's a wizard in the title. That's all.
Okay.
He's taking over Wizard.
He's drawing all the pages for Wizard Seamus. Magazine.
Yeah. Very nice. They're, so look for news coming out of that this coming week. There was some announcements this week, and unfortunately some scheduling announcements. DC talked about the issues with Superman Confidential and the hardcover that had been solicited.
And you made Chris cry.
I was really kind of, you know...
Oh, the whole way here, I just had to console and tell him how silly he was about it.
Does he have to wait 2 months?
Well, it's more than 2 months. They haven't even talked about it. This is not the action.
You have a wife, dude.
Well, this is not. Yes, I do.
And you know what I mean? Like, it's a whole 2 months.
You almost got beer spit all over you because of that one.
I will have to lock myself away in the safe room, Jodie Foster style.
For those of you like me that have been reading and enjoying Superman Confidential, they're up to issue 5, and issue 6 was going to wrap up the Darwin Cook, Tim Sale arc called Kryptonite. And they have delayed the last issue in that arc.
Con!
I just wanted to
and they've canceled orders on the deluxe hardcover. They did announce that issue 6 is going to be replaced with what issue 7 was, and it's a story by Jimmy Palmiotti and Justin Gray, and that will be followed up by another story by Vito Del Sante, and then Superman Confidential 9 is going to be followed, or is going to be a story written by Dan Abnett and Andy Lanning. So there's
what?
Basically...
Did they just, like, I'll just put the goddamn books out.
Did they lose the script?
I don't know. It's so I don't have any idea when the last issue of this story arc is going
to
come out.
I got a feeling it has something to do with the Darwin Cook maybe.
Meltdown?
Yeah, I don't know. Who knows? But, yeah, big deal. You got to wait a couple months for the final issue of the arc.
Well, no, they're saying, like, next year.
Well,
write your own.
That's a few months.
Write your own into it.
It's time for fan fiction.
Next year's 3 months.
Oh, gosh.
That is.
We're entering the Christmas season, aren't we?
We are not entering the Christmas season.
I want my 10th plasma, please. My 10th, 16th plasma.
I'll be sure to put that on Santa's list for you.
The closet inside my shoe closet.
No,
doesn't have a
I've been in your house. You just stack them up on top of each other when they stop working.
Make furniture out of them.
I
build a clubhouse.
I usually don't get upset with delays and that kind of stuff, but you know, Superman has really kind of had some issues or lack of issues.
There's no other Superman stuff out in the world to read.
Well, no, action is going through the same thing
because of the Bizarro World thing that's
No, I'm loving the Bizarro World story, but I would like to see the previous story wrapped up first.
And you will in January.
Just relax. You know, it's not that.
I could die tomorrow, and I would never know.
Oh, if that's the worst thing in your life.
They have comic shops in heaven and hell.
They'll have that issue.
The hell you don't get
a month ahead of time.
Hey, remember that you're married, right? We brought this up.
Oh, I wish I was married.
All right, so anyway, Superman Confidential eventually.
Hey, if you were married to him, you'd be buying him trades. You know what I'm saying?
Not a one.
Poison
Not a
trades.
One have I gotten. All right, now here is some really cool news that, not that I'm a big Legion fan, but I thought it was very interesting. Jim Shooter is coming back to write Legion after 30-plus years off of the title. Now, for those that don't know, Shooter started writing Legion when he was like 14 years old.
Now, how come you didn't put who the artist is going to be? You guys are
I don't know.
This is
haters.
A writer's cast.
You guys are haters.
I didn't put it together. Don't look at me. Yeah. Did they announce the artist?
Yeah,
who's the artist?
It's a new guy.
Yeah, it's Francis Manapul.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
I would know.
There was a cool two-page spread on Newsarama that looked pretty sweet.
Yeah. I mean, I think people. That's why I was gonna say. I mean, it's gonna not only he's coming back. I think it's a very old school writer coming back, but
new
with a very
artist.
New school. Fun.
Interesting.
I didn't put it in there because I knew that you would.
Yeah, whatever. Don't try to cover your ass.
What has he worked on before that I might know?
Well, right now he's doing that big Iron and the Maiden book that Aspen's putting out. He did Witchblade for a long time.
Okay.
The last couple of years. He was the main artist on Witchblade.
I have them. I haven't read them.
The Legion, the interview with Shooter, they had that two-page spread. And it looked really cool because it had sort of like a very clean... interesting style, but still had like a touch of sort of classic Legion sort of feeling. They're going to redesign the costumes.
Right.
And, nothing I like more than redesign Legion costumes.
Whenever I first saw the story that, Shooter returns to Legion, I'm thinking, okay, it's going to be a one shot or he's going to do, the new very in vogue.
Until they kill him.
Yeah, he said he's going to do it as long as they.
That's pretty cool, actually. I mean,
good for him.
Shooter?
I find that I have no emotion whatsoever.
Towards the story?
Yeah.
Well.
Except I like Francis.
Oh.
So, never mind.
That's a writer
I have a lot of emotion now.
Well, there you, yeah, go. There you go. It pleases everyone.
It does.
New school fans and old school fans. Yeah. Everybody. Yes. It's a book for everyone.
Okay, my emotion's gone again.
I think it's issue number...
I need another story.
It's issue number 37. Sorry, just to...
Okay, next story. And this is one that that Sal had talked with me about earlier this week, and we may want to get Mark's input on this.
No.
Diamond is kind of reworking their...
Hot story.
Their reorder system with... Indies is, and you know more about the story than I do, Sal.
That's not a whole lot more. I mean, I just
read. He read the whole.
I just
thing.
Read it.
Yeah, he read the whole story.
From what I understand,
this by the way is Rich Johnson from Lion in the Gutter.
Yeah, from what I understand, this is Diamond. The way they do business is if you order, if you're a comic shop owner, you order books.
I am.
And there's certain books that you don't order. You order a few issues of whatever, and then say the next month you put a reorder in. If you order from like Marvel, DC, and I think maybe Image and a couple other publishers, you get the same discount as you would as if you had just ordered them the first month. But on other publishers, you don't get the same discount. You get a smaller discount.
Well, that seems fair.
Martin's
kidding,
nodding.
That was sarcastic.
But and they've done that for years. But the rumors that they are going to get away, or they're going to put that to bed, and they're no longer going to do that. So you'll get the same discount regardless of who publishes the book.
Oh, the tyrant's getting ready to strike. It's opening its arms. Come here, little lamb. Come here, little lamb.
I just think for smaller publishers, I mean, it you know, books that maybe weren't ordered because they already are sort of behind the gun already. If you're a smaller publisher, a lot of comic shops won't order you at all.
Ooh, look at that guy.
But then, on top of it, if all of a sudden they want to order it a month later, they have to pay more for it than they would have if they would have ordered it originally. And now they won't have to do that. They'll get their same discount.
Right.
It's from what I understand. Is that true or not, Mark?
Is that true?
It's basically true. I mean, we don't get the same discount, but I don't remember when we reordered that we got a lower discount, though. Usually have a, matter of how much you order from the company, you have discount rates.
Right.
For everybody. You know, a certain one for Marvel, a certain one for DC, a certain one for Image, and,
but I think, wasn't
and
there,
so on. But
there was a time, I think, that they meant, I think they mentioned something that there was a certain time, window of time.
There might have probably within the first like 30 to 60 days.
Yeah, I think there was
say.
A window of time, and I think that's part of the thing that they're also that's part of the thing they're doing away with. I could be wrong though.
Yeah, it's kind of a fucked up thing because usually you don't put a reorder in for it until the book actually gets here. So
right. That's
a fucked up rule.
Well,
what a surprise
seems
for
crazy
them.
Crazy to actually base ordering
that sales. I would say one of the reasons they're trying to be nicer though I've heard is I mean the, one of the rumors I've heard is that there's another company out there that's
looking
to get into
distribution. Oh, that would be a good
thing. Which would be a big thing for them because they've been the sole dominating factor in comic books since Marvel fucked up.
Yeah, you know what Diamond's going to do next to prove their prowess in
ice
the industry?
Ice cream Fridays.
They're going to say that. They're going to start selling out books before books are even conceived of by publishers or creators.
They'll just name a title.
Yes, they
sold out.
I
had 300 sold out.
Sold out in an hour.
And I wrote it.
Yes.
Iron Man's a woman in it.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say.
Hey, you guys want to join us?
No, I thought you were doing a fine job on your own.
I don't understand the
but
story.
But if you need my help... So I don't know. That like I said, it was just it's only a rumor that they're announcing that at the Baltimore.
But it definitely could be a boon for encouragement for retailers to order more indies. Go ahead.
Couple other another story that sort of
beep 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 beep
goes off
over
that.
The ticker.
DC signed a deal with Random House this week. Calvin Reed of Publishers Weekly reported that DC Comics signed a deal with Random House Publishing Services, who will now serve as DC's distributor to the bookseller market. DC's distribution had previously been through the Time Warner Book Group, but seized the opportunity to level up when Random House was sold to, or when the Warner Brothers Book Group was sold to Hatchet. So it's kind of an interesting thing that DC's trying to really push the whole thing
to book market.
Yeah, book market. I mean, they obviously see.
Cool.
Yeah, I mean, that goes right to what we've been talking about for a while now.
I've seen the wave of the future, and it is.
And it looks like a hot dog.
If I was a hot dog. and then another.
I've seen the future, and the earth is burning.
Another one that kind of plays on this whole thing is Jeff Smith over at his blog recently announced some pretty impressive sales figures for his Scholastic bone reprints.
I just see the headline on this, and it says Great Big Bone.
He said, I received some astonishing sales figures from Scholastic. The paperback edition of Bone Number 6, Old Man's Cave, which just shipped last month, is in its third printing for a total of 260,000 copies.
That's awesome.
The combined hardcover and paperback sales for the series to date, nearly 2 million.
That's awesome.
Wow.
I mean, that's unbelievable.
Yeah. And you know what's fantastic about that? That is a kid's story. I mean, it can be enjoyed by all ages,
but
that is a book.
Yeah.
I mean, there it goes to show you, right?
Everybody.
Like, we can squabble amongst each other as adults saying, this book, blah, 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 blah. I applaud Jeff Smith for going out and saying, you know what? I'm going to do a good story. And it is a very good story.
Yes. No
question.
You know
what I mean? He didn't kid it up. He made a story for children.
For everyone.
Yeah, it's really enjoyable, and I applaud just a creator for...
it's all his.
Yeah, every last drop of it is his.
He's mad rich now.
The big, fatty, biggest...
Complete edition?
Yeah, biggest bound book ever or whatever.
Right.
That was him. He published that himself.
You could bludgeon someone with that book. It is.
And they'd love somebody it. Bought me that.
And they'd
as
love
a
it because then they could, while they're in the hospital.
Dan.
And they would have stickers that
Dan
said,
Corbett
I got bone.
Man.
It's
in my toilet. Or not in my toilet, but in my restroom.
It's in your toilet.
It's in my, my parlor.
All right. Last story here. And once again, this is from Rich Johnson's column. And he elaborated.
That's where we get all our stories.
We're doing the Rich Johnson case.
Yeah, it's Rich Johnson week. He elaborated on some of the information that he had talked about with the Dable brothers split with Marvel.
So after people hear this story and they should go online and read it, I wish there was some way to advertise to every up-and-coming artist or any artist out in the industry. Don't work with these guys.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's well known since they've been in the industry.
Marvel? You talking about Marvel?
No. The Dable Brothers.
Oh. Yeah.
The Dable Brothers.
Jesus. Marvel has been screwing people for decades.
Yeah. The Dable Brothers have, literally...
Well, they're not paying people for work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they've fucked up every... they fucked up every...
Devil's Due.
Yeah,
Image.
Every company they've been with. And it's like... It almost seems to me, and this is speculation, I don't know their business plan at all, but it seems to me what they do is they go out, they buy a few properties, they publish the properties, they get the money from that instead of paying their creators, they go out and buy
more
other
properties.
Yeah. And then go, oh, what?
We're broke.
We're leaving, but it's a really good deal.
Mm-hmm.
We're leaving Marvel.
We've got some
it's
really,
really
exciting
deal.
Things in the future.
Marvel has all our stuff now, but, you know.
Well, some of the figures, and I'm not going to name names. You can go to Rich Johnson's column for that. But there are figures, everything from $200 for digitally painted covers to $3,000 for finished pages, and this is on almost every title that Dable put out with Marvel. It's Red Prophet, it's Magicians,
I mean,
Apprentice.
Stuff like it's not like Anita Blake didn't sell enough that they don't have the money to pay the $800.
Right.
I mean, it was like the number one selling hardcover.
Yeah, $800 for pencils.
I think Anita Blake should just send a check off. Come on, $800?
A vampire.
Get your name off
she
that
is
list.
A fictional character.
Oh, I mean,
Laurel K. Hamilton.
Sorry.
So Anita Blake, fictional.
Yeah, it's just crazy that...
Anita Blake's a good name for a writer, though.
That, people should know that it isn't Marvel. I mean, because sometimes fans don't understand, that book is coming out. It's coming out through Marvel.
Yeah.
But, sometimes they don't understand that it's
Marvel
not...
Marvel partnered with them after these books were already pretty much up.
I mean, wasn't it more just a distribution
system? Yeah, it's basically almost like a printing distribution situation.
It was to get into Marvel previews.
Right.
So that's it helps in the sales. Now, Scotty, I was going to ask you, have you ever...
Yeah, I'm pretty awesome.
Have you ever been stiffed by anybody?
Really? Have I ever been?
Yeah.
No. I have...
They wouldn't dare.
I have not been. Actually, we... Greg.
What?
Come here.
Greg Titus,
artist.
That's Super Scroll miniseries.
He's repelling from the ceiling.
He lives in the ceiling.
Artist on Super Scroll, Super Scroll at Marvel. Ask Greg the same question you just asked me.
Greg, have you ever been stiffed?
Yes. Yes, yes, Y-E-S.
And this is in a financial way that we're talking about.
Severely.
Yeah. All right, then. Yeah,
anything you want to talk about?
Want to get it off your
chest? Oh, he's crying now.
Like it.
No.
No, I have to go out to my van by the river. So, but it does happen, and I think that's a word of warning for up-and-coming artists. That was one of the things that David Peterson had talked about whenever he met Guy Davis, and that was one of the things that Guy Davis had talked about was, you know, let me see your, you know, I will look at your contract before you sign it, because I've signed enough bad ones that I know what they
look
like.
Well, here's this is advice, I think, to all creators out there. What happens is the publishers, especially the smaller kind of bedroom businessmen, publishers, they have big, bright ideas. And they prey on the people that are just dying to get work. I mean,
how many desperate comic book artists?
Everybody wants to get published in some way, and I think at the last thing that we as artists learn is the business side of things. So at the beginning, when we're younger, we just think, "Oh, good,
somebody's
I'm going to be huge," you know. Right. And
if I can just get published, then I can start making money.
I mean, get a contract. Not only, you know, go take it to a lawyer of your own. Make sure these, you know, set yourself up for some protection. Don't get overly excited, because at the end of the day, you could always just do your own book if you're going to do something for free.
Right.
Or next to nothing. You know what I mean? There's something to be said about viewing yourself with some kind of self-worth. You know what I mean? Don't ever think that, well, I've never done anything, so I can do it for this
low. That's how you get taken advantage of.
Yeah.
Because you don't have, you know, you don't feel confident.
Yeah, but I don't know that many artists that have, you know, like this, you know, image problem with their work. Are there a lot of those guys out there?
A what?
That don't feel like their work is good enough? I don't know how many artists I've met that have that problem.
I don't even know what to talk about. I'm the shit.
You took all of that confidence from all of them.
I sucked it up like a ultimate superpower.
Sponge.
Yeah. So,
that's
yeah.
your superpower.
That's my superpower.
I steal confidence from
other artists.
I steal
all of it.
I make all other artists cry.
I'm no good.
All right. Well, like I said, it's definitely an abbreviated news week, so we'll probably have many more announcements next week, but we'll wait and see. That will wrap up our Wire to Wire comic book news. That means it is time to jump into Top of the Stack. That's right. It's time for Top of the Stack, our chance to let you, the listener, know what we, the panel, have been reading for the last week.
Nothing.
And Top of the Stack is sponsored by Ape Entertainment. The year is 1875. Sheriff Clark and Deputy Jefferson of Sagebrush, Arizona, are in hot pursuit of a wanted man. Little do they realize that they are about to embark on the biggest misadventure of their lives. The creatures from the sky have arrived, and they are hungry. With lush artwork from up-and-coming superstar Mark Borstel and a stellar script from Jay Carvajal. The Misadventures of Clark and Jefferson, number one, is another surefire hit from Ape Entertainment. All four issues of the miniseries are complete and guaranteed to ship on time, so pre-order your copy right now of The Misadventures of Clark and Jefferson, number one, with confidence, and look for it in your local comic shop starting in November. For a free preview of The Misadventures of Clark and Jefferson and other Ape Entertainment books, visit us at apecomics.com.
Seems odd that they wouldn't have called The Misadventures of Jefferson and Clark, but...
Well, Clark is the sheriff and Jefferson is the deputy, so it's top billing.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's... You know, you can't... You can't give the dummies. Sheriff, you know,
or, thanks for sponsoring us.
And I think we talked about it last week. Did get the preview of it. The art was great. Story, if you like poop, a lot of poop jokes.
Oh, great!
But awesome. No, very, very, very funny.
Let us sell it there, buddy.
Stool
poop jokes.
It's stool tastic.
I'm sure the guys at Ape right now are excited and thank you.
Awesome. Good thing they already paid us.
No, we love poop jokes.
If you love feces,
no, definitely check that out. I really enjoyed the
preview.
Go
to scatlovers.com.
Oh,
all right, Tom. What is your top of the stack?
My top of the stack is actually a trade this week.
What?
Yeah, switching things up.
Okay, Scotty.
I'll be talking about single issues somewhere else this week.
Where?
Oh.
Because I'm going to be on Wink Wink.
Oh, that's NPR. Right. You're a crossover.
Yeah, we'll announce that later.
Yeah.
Did you give us, you know, mad props every 10 seconds?
No, you're on NPR?
Around Comics?
No, yeah.
If I were on Around Comics right now, this is what I would say.
It's top 10, book 2, written by Alan Moore, art by Gene Ha, with layouts by Xander Cannon. I had read the first one a while ago, and I had bought the second one, and I bought 49ers, which was like the prequel, and I forgot about them. And I was going through my shelves, because I'm extremely bored these days, and I was like going through, and I was like, oh, I don't think I actually ever read this. So I picked it up, and I started reading it, and I immediately remembered how awesome top 10 was. And how incredibly funny it is. If you don't know, it's about a city on Earth where eventually everyone kind of got fed up with the superheroes on Earth, and everyone kind of had to all move to one city, like all the villains and all the superheroes. So everyone that lives in this city, I'm not going to spoil anything. I'm not going to spoil anything.
I had to do earmuffs.
Scotty cups his ears.
Yeah, and it's just a city full of superheroes, so no one is really special, you know, like, so that issue's kind of taken away.
Right.
And it's about a police precinct. You know, there's, like, all these, there's, like, 50 different universes, and they all have their own police, and this one's called Top 10. And you kind of follow the cops around. It's like a weird comic book version of, like, The Wire. Or The Shield. Or, like, where if there's a lot of drama between different characters. Like, one character's sort of a racist, and one character, you know, is a lesbian, and you sort of have these... Yeah, you'll find out.
Scissor fight!
So, you have that going on, the really cool interactions between the characters, but it's also got a ton of humor, because Alan Moore is also sort of poking fun at the conventions of comic books. There's one of my favorite panels is... one of the characters' moms has their house infested with ultra mice, which are super-powered mice, so they have to bring in an exterminator that has super-powered cats. It ends up being a crisis in her apartment, where, like, time is shifting because of a super mice survivor. There's, like, a Galacticat versus Cosmos. And you see all these little mice running around just like Aquaman or Martian Manhunter.
Sweet.
and there's just, like, panels of these guys just staring in there, and then them shutting the door. And one of them's just like, that's the craziest thing I've ever seen. And every single panel, I mean, the art's really... I love the layouts, and I love the art style, and I love the fact that every page has little Easter eggs. All the characters in the background, you'll see, like, characters from animation, characters from, like, comic strips. Like, when you're reading it, you know, really take a look at every single panel, because you'll find funny. I've seen the Wonder Twins about 1,000 times,
right,
walking around with the dog with, like, luggage. There's the Rogues from The Flash at the train station wandering around.
Pays to page.
It pays to really look at all the pages. And I won't go into too much of the plot, because I know Scotty's...
It's the Gene Ha art that I really like.
Because you just talked me into reading it.
Yeah.
It's, like, you know, that's one of the things, talking about the comedy aspect of it. A lot of people don't realize how funny Alan Moore can be, because they've read Watchmen or, you know, the Swamp Thing.
Watchmen.
And
he told me a dirty limerick once.
But Alan Moore really kind of started off as a comedy writer at 2000 AD with, you know, D.R. Quinch, and that kind of... He has a great sense of humor.
Well, I mean, there's a good combination of humor and, like, really good interaction. Like, one of the main stories is there's a new cop who's a robot that joins, and everyone sort of distrusts him because he's not, you know, a person. And there's a lot of humor based upon him sort of getting inside and becoming friends with everyone, and I loved it. I forgot how much I love Top 10, so that's why I want to bring it up.
Cool. Yeah, cool.
Go get it. There's only two trades of the main story, so you can catch up easy. There's a prequel, and
the prequel
there's Beyond the 49ers, and there was Beyond the 10th Precinct, which was... I forgot who wrote that, but it's very easy to catch up on.
All right, Mr. Young, what is your top of the stack? Are we continuing the adventures of Jesse Custer?
Who?
No. The Preacher. Preacher.
Oh, yeah, Preacher. Fucking A. I've read... Last week, I think I talked about Volume 4 of Preacher, and this week I read three more, so I read 5, 6, and 7.
Jesus.
I know, I was on a tear. I didn't get any ass this week. So
you didn't have sex while reading Preacher?
No.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah.
And that's why
I'm
going to read the last issue like that.
Five and six were pretty good, but it felt like just kind of more the same. I mean, you know, it was good. I didn't
fine. Yeah, I didn't dislike it, but there was nothing that stood out to me as like, wow, this is really progressing and going through. It just felt like, oh, just, you know, a couple more of the same stuff that's been going on. Like, oh, I'm so edgy and hardcore and people like ass sex and stuff like that.
People do.
I do. And I felt that Trade Number 7, Volume 7, went in a completely different direction than the rest of the series has been so far. Because you have, you know, Custer went through the whole thing in the desert and where Hairstar was trying to blow him up and basically dropped an atomic bomb on him and nuked him. And Jesse came out of it months later with no eye. And at the end of Trade 6, he goes to rejoin up with Tulip and Cassidy that months after this, they thought he was dead, and he sees that they are now together. She's reluctantly with him because she's all drugged and depressed and, you know, typical edgy shit. But Seven then picks up there where he basically goes off on his own, kind of frustrated with what he saw. He's just going to kind of leave his little mission to go kick God's ass behind for a while and finds himself in some little small town in Texas in a bar and beats the shit out of a couple guys. If people didn't know, it's a violent book, Preacher. So
yeah, I'm aware.
Yeah,
it's not just about ass sex.
Yeah,
it's about shooting people.
God and shooting people too. So right off the bat, he kicks a few asses, and the sheriff, you know, in a very realistic move, says, "Oh, you can be the sheriff. You know, no elections or anything. You're the sheriff, stranger man." So Jesse Custer becomes the sheriff of this little town, and you find out that his nemesis is this little dude that runs a meatpacking plant outside of town. And these two become entangled in a big feud.
Embroiled.
Embroiled and microwaved and
mixed stuff.
In a big feud with each other over, you know, just ego shit and... So basically, it's just kind of them going after each other. It felt like a very kind of Walking Tall style story, you know, where one dude against this...
Grab your 2x4 and let's go and beat some ass.
It really felt like that, like reading it. So I was like, oh, this is pretty cool. And this little guy just is doing all tight. You know, he's sending his little thugs to try to kill him. And at one point, I thought it was just really funny was... Now it's going to sound all wrong because I'm like, oh, it's really funny because the Klan's there. And
oh, there's more.
Yeah. So this little dude gets the Klan together to kill Custer. And Custer, in traditional fashion, just goes up and starts getting in their face. And he rips one of their hoods off. And he's kind of talking shit to him, and I found myself laughing out loud when I read it, because he said, he asked this guy when he took off his hood, he said, why is it the greatest champions of the white race always turn out to be the worst examples of it? You, and he looks, and he goes, you, and he's like, oh, what? He goes, where the fuck is your chin? And if you see the artwork, I mean, Steve Dillon, I do believe Steve Dillon at times is a lot of faces look similar, and there's sometimes a little basic, but... nailed this guy's face because there is no fucking chin on this guy, and the expression on his face, and when I read that, I just thought it was really funny. The downside, I think, to this story is they build it up a lot. This little feud between them, and it's very strategic, and there's this other crazy like Nazi lawyer involved and whatnot, and they seem to in kind of what seems to happen to me a lot in comics is. They wrap it up far too quickly with just a really quick, like, oh, I got you. You're done. You know what I mean? Like a very quick thing. And one thing that did happen throughout this is one of the women of the town that he starts interacting with and kind of befriends turns out to be his mother. Because everybody always has to be related in stories.
Just like life.
Yeah.
Sal and I are brothers, we just
found. I thought that. You guys found out on the internet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Somebody on a message board told you.
Yeah.
It was
I Rich believe
Johnston.
Everything I read.
Yeah,
Johnston
told us. So that was... I did enjoy this story, though. It seemed to get me a little bit back into the mood of reading Preacher as I was starting to fall out of it a little bit, because I felt like, it was just dragging. It was just, not that it was boring, but it was just, like I said, okay, everything is very hardcore, I understand this, but I would like it to start giving me some information and letting, you know, right. tying some
Especially
things together.
Especially since you're at the seventh trader. I mean, there's
there's only nine. So there's two more after this, and this one kind of being out of, you know, not until the very end of the book, which actually, I still have like one issue worth at the end of this trade to read, but I wrapped up the main storyline in this. So, yeah, there's only two trades left, so there's a lot of things laid out on the table that I'm pretty anxious for them to start tying up. So hopefully if it finishes it, and I'll have a good book report for it next week, I should obviously finish it. And if it sucks, I fucking hate everybody for telling me to read this piece of shit.
I think you'll be fine.
I think you're going to fucking hate it.
Yeah. Oh, look, he got God, and they said, fuck you in the ass, God! Because that's kind of...
Oh, shit, spoilers.
Damn! Right,
that's how it ends, dude.
So, that's it, Preacher. Oh, Preacher. But I did start reading, though, this is just real quick, that Image Comics Road to Independence.
Oh, the book about
the book,
George Corey,
the history of the book. I just breached it, so I just wanted to mention that and say I'll probably be doing that at some point in the next couple weeks. Yeah,
Tomorrow's does an awesome job with those type of books.
Yeah,
when they go into a topic.
It is really. I mean, I find the Image, the start of it, what it has become. I mean, I find that to be
the whole state of the industry.
The most intriguing. Thing in comics since I've been around. I started around that time anyway, but just the whole concept of Image itself, of a group of guys going, let's go start this thing. And it instantly succeeded. You know, it wasn't even years of building it up. It just happened. So I find that very intriguing, and I hope maybe some other people go out and read it, and maybe when I talk about it, they can send in their
comments.
Stuff. Yeah, because it's really good.
Scotty's first Comics 101.
Image. Ooh, Image Comics. Yeah. I was like, Comics 101, fucking sweet. Show over.
Fantastic. I can't wait for that.
Come talk to me.
Yeah. What? Say
All right.
something.
Sal, what is your top of the stack?
My top of the stack this week is Lobster Johnson from Dark Horse Comics by Mike Mignola and Jason Armstrong.
You're so hip, dude.
Lobster Johnson, The Iron Prometheus, number 1 of 5. I was looking forward to this book very much. Lobster Johnson is one of my favorite characters from the Hellboy mythos, even though he's only really been in it, you know, a couple of times.
Yeah, four stories, I think.
That just shows you how cool he is.
Yeah, he's just, for me, I'm a big fan of, like, the World War II era sort of espionage, behind the scenes kind of superhero stuff that rarely comes out anymore, but I was really looking forward to this book, and I was hoping I wouldn't be disappointed, and I certainly wasn't. It was a lot of fun. I enjoyed the fact that it's not like an origin tale of Lobster Johnson.
It's just the Lobster Johnson.
Hold it.
Story.
That is a single issue.
Yes, it is.
You said you stopped.
No, I know, but
you're fucking joking.
No. I order three months in advance, so I still have single issues coming for 3 months.
So you still have to take drugs for a while.
And I still will pick up a couple here and there.
Oh,
I'm not going to cut it.
Oh, I'll quit smoking. I'll just smoke one or two.
When I'm drinking and on the weekends and on Monday, Tuesday,
all right,
Wednesday.
All right.
You're going to quit reading your own singles.
I know I should never share any of my thoughts with
all right,
the fuckers.
Go back to the top of the stack.
As I was saying, they just drop you into adventure with Lobster Johnson. There's no, you know, telling you who he is or what he is or anything. It basically starts off with another character who's being followed home, and it's got a very noir, you know, mystery suspense kind of feel to it. We find out this character was an ex-baseball player who was helping out a brilliant scientist developing this kind of Iron Man suit of armor.
Yeah.
He was just sort of the test subject for it, now he's being followed by, like, Nazis and other interested parties.
Nazis make, like, most stories, I think, probably about 90% better.
Oh, I agree completely.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, what's great about it in the whole Hellboy universe is that it plays into Mignola's fascination with the occult and folklore, because that's, you know, the whole, you know, the Nazis were obviously very interested in that.
So I feel the same way, except by trannies.
Trannies make it interesting.
Any issue where you can punch a tranny in the face.
Chicks with dicks are sweet.
Well, he's followed home by somebody, and we find out then he's attacked by, like, this big, giant gorilla kind of monster, and Lobster Johnson jumps in to save him, and ends up not really saving him. The guy kind of puts on the armor himself and saves Lobster Johnson.
Leaves a lobster claw mark on the gorilla, though.
Yeah, he did leave a lobster suit. Yeah, that was a running gag in it. And it goes on. I mean, it's a pretty, you know, it's not like some revolutionary tale, but for me, it was just a lot of fun and gave me exactly what I wanted out of a Lobster Johnson story. It was just action and sort of intrigue, and I thought they got the tone of it right. At first, I was almost a little taken aback by it because it kind of felt more like I was reading a Lobster Johnson cartoon than I was reading a Lobster Johnson comic book. Mm-hmm. The pacing in it and even some of the dialogue was very... It felt like a cartoon, like almost like a storyboard. But I thought it worked really well for sort of the tone of the story because they were trying to give it, I think, more of a...
There were very few static pages in there. The action is always moving. There's always stuff going on.
I like how they find artists to sort of maintain a sort of look for all of the...
Even though they're
all
different.
The Hellboy stuff.
But yeah, I mean, this is very much like what's his name, Guy Davis. But different.
This is very Paul Pope-ish, in a way.
Really? Okay.
Yes.
I don't agree. Yeah.
It's not as brushed as Pope's stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, like a cartoonier version of it.
Of it, yeah.
Or almost a Darwin Cook.
A little cleaner. Yeah, it's got. Well, Dave Stewart did the colors on it. Which I think he does all of the Hellboy stuff.
Yeah.
And so that certainly
keeps it...
It always
has the same tone to it, which I like.
But, like I said,
it's
overall...
It's not like Ed Benes is drawing it.
Yeah, no shit. And as the story progressed, you know, obviously there's a mystery involved, and Lobster Johnson's on the case, and it'll involve Nazis and monsters and all sorts of cool shit, and there's underground tunnels and
cannibals
and just all sorts of wacky shit that if you enjoy the Hellboy universe, I don't think you'll be disappointed by this one. So I really enjoyed it, and I'm looking forward to more.
It's also not sort of impenetrable like the Hellboy single issues have become.
Yeah, it was very much very... easier to digest, I thought, than some of the Hellboy or even the BPRD stuff.
You don't need to know anything going into this. Lobster Johnson is a World War II era secret agent that wears goggles.
I love Hellboy art, but I'm always very bored by reading the stories.
Yeah.
The Hellboy, I like the BPRD stuff, as I think...
I have those, I haven't read them yet.
Because I think, because there's multiple characters there's that a little you see more and more of, you can kind of figure out their interactions. The Hellboy stuff, I still get the trades, but it almost feels like because he sort of stopped interacting with the same characters over and over again, you kind of like lose track of where he is or what's going on. But I think there's a strength to that Lobster Johnson's I point on the radio. Point on the video! And in Lobster Johnson BPRD, where if you see more characters interact, it sort of becomes easier to figure out what's going on instead of being dropped into like one guy's journey to whatever that you don't quite understand.
Cool. I agree.
So we're done.
And
oh, wait. Okay.
Sure.
I'm kidding.
And Sal stole that from me.
Sent out an email. And
he said, I'm picking Lobster. Because I knew him or Tom, one of them were going to take it.
I wasn't.
I knew I didn't have to worry about Scotty.
I don't give a shit what you guys pick.
If
I pick the same thing, you know what it becomes? Mine, not yours.
No.
Well, you know what? I was going to pick Preacher
number 7.
You're
not going to pick
Single Issues. Yeah.
I might do it just to fuck you guys up.
Do it.
As soon as I get here, I'm going to scope out what you're doing. And I'm going to do it first. And then people are going to be like...
But it'll be a single issue. It'll burn you if you try and touch it. Since Sal stole my pick, so this is my next to top of the stack. No, this is I can't.
Shut up!
That's always spoiling shit.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer season 8, and this is issue number 6. This is the
don't hate on Buffy.
The first issue that Brian K. Vaughan has taken over after Joss Whedon.
BKV.
And the story arc is No Future for You, and it's Brian K. Vaughan and. George's Genty, and it is a faith story. So it's
5x5.
It's about faith.
It's stepping away from Buffy and Xander and Willow and the Scooby Gang, and this is more story about faith and also Giles. There's
I thought he was dead.
I don't know.
Reverse spoiler.
Just wait till my Buffy cast.
Oh, Jesus.
Continue, Chris.
The real quick plot breakdown is that there is a rogue Slayer, now that there are thousands of Slayers in the world, there is a Rogue Slayer, which you had a feeling they were going to get into a storyline like that, and the Slayer needs to be taken out. And whenever there is a dirty job that needs to be taken care of, Faith is kind of the...
That dirty whore.
She's the one that that gets called on to do the really dirty jobs.
Dirt cheap.
And that's what she's... And she actually says the dirty job's done dirt cheap.
Oh, that's never been used.
I know, yeah.
Kind of the interesting twist in this is that now we get to see Giles in kind of a watcher role again, but it's with Faith, and he needs to prepare her. This rogue slayer is in England, and she's a person of means, a debutante type, and Giles has to more or less train Faith to fit into English high society.
It's a Pygmalion issue.
Yeah. It's you know, lots of talk about, you know, salad forks, that kind of stuff.
It's like Pygmalion's the play that that movie, I always forget the movie name because I read Pygmalion first. It's like where the guy makes a bet about teaching a street lady out of My Fair Lady.
Yes, it's definitely a My Fair Lady type story. Which, you know, if you are familiar with the character of Faith, you know that she is the farthest thing from that. And Giles is going to have his work cut out, getting her prepared to go to England and infiltrate the society to take out this very well protected Slayer, who is, of course, a part of an apocalyptic prophecy, and this has been confirmed by a long-haired, long-bearded wizard from Northampton.
Hello, I'm Harry Potter.
Well, how many
Dumbledore
or Alan Moore?
Dumbledore.
Yeah, it was a fun nod and an Alan Moore reference. This long-bearded wizard in Northampton. So, what you see with a lot of these licensed properties, which is basically, you know, Buffy falls into that realm, the characterization is pretty good with the characters. The art, for the most part, is better than passable. It's not the best art I've seen in a Buffy comic, but you know who the characters are. It's fairly consistent, moves the story along, and I think this series has been a success. I've liked the season 8 of Buffy.
It's a hot seller.
Well, you know, it's not.
It is. It's fucking way up there. It's top 10.
Yeah.
Oh, it's top 5.
I see your top 5 and I raise you to top 2.
It's the best book in the fucking world.
Because I think George is a good artist. He's a nice guy. But I wish that they were, because that book was going to sell regardless, I wish that they would have given it a chance to not hinge so much on likeness. I think the characters...
But that's what the people that are buying it are looking for. They're
looking for stories.
No, they're not.
It's Buffy. You're telling me that if the stories weren't about Buffy, they'd be buying it.
I don't think that if Xander looks like Xander, that the people that are buying this are going to like it.
I think the cover can look like it, and I think that 7 years of the television show has cemented the characters themselves as characters.
Well, how much of a redesign are you talking about?
I'm not talking about. No, I'm just saying add. Anytime that you're trying to do likeness, you're limiting yourself on a lot of things because you're kind of stuck. You're kind of stuck within this.
It needs to look like the actor is.
Well, I mean, little certain things. I mean, the right haircut. I mean, you can match the hair. Just letting it not be so hinged on likeness and realism.
I see what you're saying.
To allow it to step outside
maybe it
and
needs
be
a
bigger.
Maybe it needs a happy medium where they need to be recognizable, but not overly.
I always seem to notice is like if you look like I'm just flipping through it now. It's like okay, there's Faith and Giles, and they obviously look who they're supposed to look like. But then you have a character that is no one,
right?
And you know, it's just you can She's just cool. tell the difference,
right?
In the face
right.
of the art of the face, as opposed to
right.
one
that's not
that,
working
you know,
off of a photo reference.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, he's not trying to. You know, right. It's just a character that he drew. You know,
I mean,
yeah,
I think
this,
Buffy
the
is
Rogue
a big
Slayer
world.
Was the strongest yeah. character from visually because I'm. This is probably
he
George's
can do he
creation,
wants with it, yeah.
and probably has a much better feel of what that character should look like.
Well, yeah, that, for me, I just feel like it was a chance because the Buffy world is so loved by the following that you have, I mean, it is one of those rare chances that you have a built-in audience that is going to buy your product regardless. So you have an opportunity to actually create like take the visuals of that character and add more to it than you couldn't do with a real human being. You know, like Xander, if his personality is this, you could create him in a line style to help add to that. You know, where like again, this is not taking anything away from Georges, but it is something that I'd always felt like, oh, you know what? I mean, I've seen Buffy look like this already, right? And we're never gonna—you can't match it. You know, it's a TV show.
But at the same time, I do think that people buying it expect a certain thing.
I want to see Giles.
You know what I mean?
I think that's you,
but I mean, you're an artist and you're looking at it from that perspective.
But I'm saying that the property itself, because you look at the old.
I'm not
Buffy,
saying it wouldn't work. I'm just saying people are going to expect that.
I think over time, if this continues, any property they do, I think you can move a little bit. You know, like any established superhero book, those characters can change and develop over time,
and
they can move. I think as this becomes more established, you'll be able to do that, but you are getting a new reader base right off the bat.
It'll be no more established than it is now. I mean, it's a top 10 book, the first issue.
I'm talking about just the length of the series. As it moves farther and farther away from the TV show and into its own thing of
a
comic.
Who gives a shit? It's Buffy.
It's good, man. I've really enjoyed this series.
Sweet.
There you go.
All right, that'll take care of Top of the Stack. That means it's time to take a look at what's coming out this Wednesday. It is time for Future Stacks.
Future Stacks!
Get on the stacks!
Future Stacks. First up is Vicious Intent, the rock and roll art and exploitation of Stainboy Rainel, which is a hardcover. The name is sweet. The cover is sweet. We think it's a poster book.
We think. I don't know. It just looked cool.
It does sound kind of cool.
This is
if we're wrong, we'll walk the plank.
Yeah, exactly.
If it's coming out next week, you've either already pre-ordered it or you're going to go into a store. So take a look at it.
There you go.
Cool. All-Star Batman and Robin, The Boy Wonder, number 6.
Finally?
Yeah, so you'll be able to...
Maybe.
Yeah, you can probably hear the hate already coming over the internet.
I think there's already forum posts.
Yeah, I think people already think it sucks. Countdown presents The Search for Ray Palmer, Wildstorm. This is where they're looking for Ray Palmer, and they're going to look in the Wildstorm universe, and I bet he isn't there, because there's other issues of this coming out after this. So don't expect him to be in it. JLA Wedding Special, number 1. Dwayne McDuffie writes his first JLA issue. We see the creation of the Injustice League, which will be the foes of the...
Cool.
And if you saw the previews on Newsarama, it's already making fun of... It's already making fun of Brad Meltzer's run a little bit with
really?
Yeah, like in a loving, nice way. Justice Society of America number 9 is coming out. It's the one with the woman with the giant jugs on the cover.
Yeah, it's a new arc.
So. New story arc. Suicide Squad, Raise the Flag, number 1 of 8.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, that's coming out. Wonder Girl, number 1 of 6, written by Jay Torres.
I'm actually interested.
Who's the art by?
I like Cassie.
I can't tell.
Sanford Green.
I only knew that off my
Who?
Top of my head.
God.
See, the writer isn't even on here. I just knew that off the top of my head. Casanova number 9.
Fabio Moon with the art.
Yeah, right. No, I don't care about that book.
Suburban
Glamour. Super Grease, my boy.
Suburban Glamour number 1 of 4 by
Jamie McKelvey.
Jamie McKelvey.
Writing and drawing?
It's not on here. I don't know.
No, I think
Jamie, you had a question mark at the end of it.
And drawing?
I know he's doing the art. I think he's... I don't know about the writing. I know that it's... It's his creation. I don't know if he has someone else that's co-writing with him.
Daredevil number 100.
Well, he's doing the art.
I know he's doing the art. Oh. I don't know if he's doing the writing.
Sorry.
Or if he has someone else writing with
him. Daredevil number 100. I'm sure something bad will happen to Matt Murdock. Nexus Archives Volume 6. The hardcover, if you're getting this, it's coming out. It's $50.
Well, how many of the Nexus Archives do you have, Sal?
3. Of them now.
So,
yeah.
Three to go.
Six ones coming out. Batman Chronicles Volume 4. This is sort of the Golden Age Batman, so you can see him fighting landlords and chemists.
Sweet.
The Batman Strikes Duty Calls. That's the cartoon. We hear it's good. Creeper, welcome to Creepville.
That's the Steve Niles.
These are the trades.
Steve Niles trades. The these are the trades. Flash Wonderland. This is the first time the beginning of the Geoff Johns run on the Flash was actually collected. It's not the strongest story, but it's pretty good, and it's the first time it's been out in trade, so if you're wondering. Ion Volume 2, The Dying Flame. is coming out. I didn't know nothing would happen to him.
Is that the Kyle Rayner?
Yeah, it's Kyle Rayner. Something happens to Kyle Rayner. And there's, I'm sure some Kyle Rayner fans were pissed. Justice League Elite Volume 2. Man, that came out a long time ago. Finally putting that in trade?
Finally.
All right, well, whatever. Didn't like it then. Justice Society of America Volume 1, the Next Age hardcover. I did like this. It's only like 5 issues in a hardcover, though, for like $20. So I hope there's other stuff in there.
Man,
otherwise, wait for the trade. Or buy the issues. It's probably cheaper to do that. Showcase presents Batman and the Outsiders, Volume 1.
Is this the original Batman?
Yeah, from the 80s. It's pretty
good. I have those issues stored.
That means you're officially old if it's been reprinted in black and white.
And I bought them originally, and now they smell like old book, which...
Wonder Woman, Love and Murder, hardcover by Jody Picoult. I'm sure.
I think the underappreciated run of Jody Picoult.
I'm sure some people thought that he destroyed Wonder Woman, because apparently everyone does whenever they touch him.
Apparently.
Yeah, Nightly News Volume 1. It's coming out in trade. We love the book. Pick it up. Yes. It's all about reporters.
And I think
being
it's
going to
be stronger, and it's going to be stronger in trade than it was in the single issues. Is my
so it's like the difference between the Abomination and the Hulk in strength side. I'm just nerding it up at this point. Essential Punisher Volume 2. The Punisher, I'm sure, shoots bad people. Ghost Rider Trail of Tears premiere hardcover.
Rides around on a motorcycle.
His head is on fire, fucking skull. Marvel Zombies, Army
whole,
of Darkness.
That's the whole character right there, baby. Marvel's guy on a bike with a flaming skull head.
This is a surprise entry. Marvel Zombies, Army of Darkness. I'm sure there's 900 covers. I'm sure they're only printing 5, so they'll sell out. And then
is it just me, or is this Army of Darkness thing really going longer than its legs should take it?
I didn't think it should have gone past.
I think the movie's kind of good and maybe cute. In a way, but
I like anything that helps Bruce Campbell.
Did I anticipate?
I do like Bruce Campbell.
Like 15 years later,
it's Bruce Campbell with a chainsaw on his arm. I mean, it's gonna go forever.
You got real ugly, baby. You know, it was really funny when I was 10.
Ultimate Spider-Man Volume 18.
Fan.
Ultimate
Knights. 18.
Yeah,
I couldn't believe.
Hey, this
is
the continuity-free version of Spider-Man. There's 18 volumes. Wolverine Classic Volume 5. I'm sure he does what he does best. Exterminators Volume 3. Lies of Our Fathers.
Yeah.
It's Exterminators is really good. Pick it up. It's all about bugs.
Future stacks!
Yeah, there you go.
That's future stacks.
Welcome to the future.
You've been stacked.
You've been stacked.
Ooh.
Please don't stay long.
All right, let's go over to the mailbag. We've got some listener email, which if you do want to contact us through your computer, you can email us at info@aroundcomics.com or Chris, Sal, or Tom at aroundcomics.com. Sal, what do we got?
First one is from Gunny Lingus.
What up, gang?
I used to work for the Walt Disney Animation Studio down under before we were all made redundant thanks to cheap overseas labor, and now I have a horrendous corporate...
He is overseas labor to us, though.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, hello, you are overseas labor.
And now I have a horrendous corporate temp job for the government. Your show and vodka is what keeps me from throwing myself down the elevator shaft each day.
Thanks for brightening my day.
No pressure.
Y'all have ranted about The Walking Dead, and today I finally picked up the first trade. It looks delightful. I'm getting all loose just sniffing the ink. I better go read it.
It's even better when you read it.
Keep kicking ass. Scotty is super, but Tom is the greatest. He reminds me of the nerd on Buffy that didn't get stabbed or skinned.
So that means you're gay.
Keep up the good work. Yours,
comfortable, dude.
Yours, juicily, Lingus.
You know what? I need to put it out there that I am getting uncomfortable with the fact that they try to pick. That the listeners are trying to pit Tom and I against each other.
Yeah.
Like, I feel you like can't enjoy both of us together as lovers and friends. Sorry. It's always one or the other, right? Like,
it's always
Scotty's
like,
okay, but Tom's the best. Tom's cool, but Scotty rocks.
I find it unusual.
I like that Sal and I just sit over
it's really
here.
It is weird that you
really
like even I mean not only do they pick out like
my mom
there's people
does.
That only listen to one podcast or like
my mom loves
I'll listen
Scotty.
To that podcast but they suck compared to this one.
Yeah.
But then like within a podcast it's like that guy's okay but he's better and Chris and Sal suck. You know? No,
the real if so you were fans. Really here, if you were really in the shop, you would know that the real source of tension is the two guys on the other side of Scotty.
The real drama.
Those motherfuckers against each other.
Jesus.
I'm sorry.
All right, our next email is from Per Hedman. It says, hello, Arounders. As a father of two little children...
Uh-oh.
I like to escape to the toilet and listen to your show. It seems to help during
the
transition. Except for when Chris talks, which makes me really clamp up.
What?
Weird, but I don't know what that means. Oh. Whatever happened to the Rucka robot? We love to talk about King and City.
He moved on.
I was listening.
He got bored with the Rucka talk.
Yeah. I was listening to the doubleheader 128 and 129 episodes and enjoying the true rhythm of the show as the dead weight was on some rage event.
What?
Why does Sal have to be so angry all the time?
I'm not angry. What are you talking about?
I didn't send this email. I like to concur with the statement that the good events are good and the bad events are bad.
True is true.
It says, I have some questions. How big are your comic collections, Sal?
I got about, 18 long boxes and 4 bookcases of trades and hardcovers.
Wow.
17. Yeah, I got a lot of crap.
I
have 18. Maybe I only got 15. I brought a bunch into Mark last week.
Yeah, they're all quality books.
I have 7 in my apartment now, but probably at home I probably have like another 10 sitting around.
I got 17 short boxes, 3.
Why do we know this?
3 long boxes and a really big bookshelf.
Wait, you got 17 short boxes? You 17, said?
Yeah.
Why don't you just buy a long box?
Because they fit better in my room.
I have a relationship with a woman, so I do no idea how many comics I have.
Scotty, that's why I only have 7 in my apartment.
The rest is in storage.
Yeah, and
I know how
as
to
I'm
compromise.
Going more and more to collected editions of big bookshelf, which, Scotty, you have a wall of
2 walls
bookshelf.
Trades
and art books.
You have some single issues.
A bunch of European
old, like old I have, I think, 4 or 5 long boxes of.
You got to get all those Marvel comp boxes they sent you.
We don't.
Oh,
get
they
comps.
Don't. Sorry, I forgot.
I get 5 copies of my own book. That's it.
Dang.
Good Lord. All
right, next question.
I've already seen this book.
How does one get their hands on the Elvis bootlegs?
Search on the internet.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's
Tom
can't,
Vegas show.
Email me. I'll tell you where to look.
Email Tom and around.
Point you in the right direction.
As a European, can I trade one of my sketches for one of Scotty's? He seems to like the European stuff.
Hell no.
Unless
I don't do this trade stuff. This trading.
He'll trade you a sketch for $200.
This isn't the Wild Wild West. I don't barter.
Well, you got to think about the exchange rate, too, with the dollar is doing very poorly. Our American sketch is doing really poorly.
Yeah. Yeah. 2-1. Is there more to the Flash than he can run really fast? It seems kind of weak to build a mythos around.
Dang.
Is there more to any of these characters other than they're like dressed like something or run fast?
You know, that's one thing.
It's
since
not
we
about
started, since we started doing the show, when we first started this, I had absolutely no interest in the Flash, and Tom has shown me the light.
Now he has slightly
too
of no interest, but
no,
still.
I
mean, it's just like with
character.
Any character. Like,
it's
a
what
good writer and a
you.
Good artist gets on, and they can make anything interesting. Just like a bad writer and a bad artist can make any character boring.
Yeah. Superman's got all the powers in the world. He's boring most of the time to me, but...
honestly, the best Flash stories are not about the Flash running fast. It's just something that...
But it's pretty sweet when he does.
Yeah, exactly. It's always there. It says, the unedited episode 55 would be nice to get my hands on. Is there a magic FTP server somewhere?
No.
Episode 55 didn't happen.
But it did get downloaded
What's
by like
questions? This
2,000,
is a game
2,000
show.
People, so I'm sure if you go on our forum and post
show
it,
me
someone would probably
number
send
55.
It to you.
Many thanks from a guy in Sweden, PHH.
Yes.
What's PHH?
His name is
screen name.
Is Per Hedman, and his screen name is PHH.
Phileas Hedmund Hedwig.
Phileas Hedmund Hedwig.
Hedwig.
Next one is from Simon McDonald. I said, guys, great interview with Greg Rucka. Serious question for Chris, though. How do you plan on taking your relationship with Greg to the next level? Are you going to petition the Illinois government to allow same-sex marriages, or do you all plan on moving to Utah where you can convert to Mormons and try out the whole polygamy thing?
Polygamy.
Just ribbing you, Chris. Great show, guys.
I
like how we included that email just because it was like making fun of Chris about his Rucka fixation.
I would just love him from afar.
I think they've actually come to terms with the Illinois government here, and they're willing to do a domestic partnership.
Let me read the last one.
Go ahead.
Jonathan Conrad. Let me start by saying I really loved the last few shows. That means he's going to say something bad, doesn't he? I enjoyed the takes on mega events and the group discussion from Sunday with Scotty and Thomas Grade. Your discussion on mega events prompted me to ask a question to you and the distinguished question mark panel. I guess he's hedging his bets. What do you see as the ultimate goal for DC and Marvel after all these events? To sell books.
To sell books, yes.
There is there's no other goal. That's
Dan DiDio has said these events since Identity Crisis were built up to 2009. Why? Because he wants people to buy the books in 2009.
Actually, no, I think there's even... yes, they want to sell. But isn't DC's 75th anniversary next
year?
Yeah,
something like that, yeah.
So that's the whole Final Crisis thing is getting tied in with the whole 75
year. I bet they stopped publishing. Joe Q has not said that, but you know they're going to do something direct to DC. Well, yeah, I mean, that's how it works.
Punch, counterpunch.
My prediction, DC is going to start over. I don't know that. Multiverse stays, but they're going to go ultimatize the line. Marvel's going to do a Kree Skull War Part 2, and the initiative will go bye-bye. Cap will be back to lead the forces, and Tony will somehow die. Jonathan, the now marriedless cussing pastor.
Jonathan, the cursing pastor.
Oh,
wow. Got divorced?
DC will not optimize their line. So congratulations.
Maybe she was dragging him down from. Or maybe she was the person keeping him from thinking about what DC and Marvel are going to be doing in 2009.
DC is built on their legacy, so they're not going to ultimize it. Marvel, Tony Stark's not going to die because there's an Iron Man movie coming out.
Go back in a year later after Ultimate Crisis.
The big thing, and I think that Jonathan is just either getting back into comics or getting into comics for the first time.
He's not jaded yet.
He's not jaded, this happens every few years. You know what? It'll all get reset.
Go read a book, dude.
New groups of writers will come in.
If you like that, just buy books that you like reading.
Don't worry about what's
Don't read stuff like anticipating some payoff beyond whether or not you enjoy what you're reading.
Stay away from Newsarama and go read a book.
And right now, what are the comic companies working towards? The next event.
Yeah.
And then after that, the next event.
That's not to say there's not good stuff being put out, but don't buy something for 12 months and think,
there's gonna
this
be
book
some
will be
huge,
awesome because I'll read something
you know
else
what?
That'll make it awesome.
Think about sleeping with the girl you're making out with, and don't worry about the girl you're going to meet later. Just sleep with her right now, right?
You're speaking in terms most of her audience won't understand.
Now that's wrong.
A girl?
We all have girlfriends or wives.
Dude, I got stable.
All right, well, that will take care of our listener email. Thank you to everyone that that sent those in. We do have a couple special announcements. First of all, this is our Monday episode. The iFanboy Pick of the Week podcast came out yesterday.
That hack of a show.
That hack of a show.
I'm on it.
Oh, it's much better than...
I haven't done it yet.
Tom is...
tomorrow.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or sad 2 days ago you did it.
It's the whole mind warp.
Yeah.
We're having a cosmic level event.
So so check out the iFanboy Pick of the Week podcast number 96.
Whatever. It's the newest one.
Yes.
I always refer to it as the newest.
The most recent. So Tom is gonna be filling in for Josh, who is on his Irish vacation.
Again, too much info about somebody.
I listen
his vacation
podcast.
I am
congratulations to the Crankcast for their 100th episode. Mike just shrugged and is...
That's
not
fitting.
Obvious.
That's
big
fitting,
party man. For that one, guys.
Yeah. So big events at the Crankcast, Mike. You have your 2-year anniversary coming up in a couple weeks, which leads us into, can we announce it? Have you guys talked about it?
Yeah, we talked about it this week.
Okay. Coming up in the next month is the 24-hour podcast.
Oh.
Around Comics will be a part of that, more details come on our website and through the Crankcast, so look forward to
it's
24
like
hours
it's
of
a podcasting. A chance for us to get retarded as the day is long.
It's like Civil War meets Infinite Crisis. And when it's
people
all over,
live,
all
people
good.
Will
yeah,
die.
People will live. Yeah. Podcasts will live. Podcasts.
I think
will
we
die.
Should figure out a way to vote people off the island, though.
I'll just start cursing at everyone until they vote me out.
You vote to keep people on the island.
Oh, maybe that's
and
what
not
it is.
Let them leave.
You
so,
do something good, you get to leave.
So more details on the 24-hour podcast to come.
If people want to join something, what can they join, Sal?
They can join our Friends of the Program. Go to aroundcomics.com where you can download and print out our LCS Challenge flyer. Ask your comic shop manager or owner if they'll display it in the store. If they do, send us an email and we'll mention you in the store on the show as well as post it on our site. Become a friend of the program today.
And if you'd like to use your Internet Explorer to... pick Chris up in your car and drive him up to some cliff and shove your virtual tongue down his throat... You can by going to iTunes and leaving a review because he loves it. Thanks to Jono Von Doom. Wow, only one name this week.
Good kisser.
Damn. Nobody. Wow. I think everybody's getting scared away.
Yeah, everyone's like,
if I leave a review, do I have to like give him an HJ?
You could, after you leave us a kindly review, you can join our Frapper map, just like
Peter Fitzsimmons from Limerick, Ireland.
Patrick Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, what a name. Hey, oh my gosh, we have someone in China. Is that really someone from China?
Shanghai China. Well, they said they were.
Ty from Shanghai, China. Hey, AC, great podcast. keeps me informed while
Never
I'm abroad.
So excited about Shanghai.
Oh, he's from a place on our planet.
Mark W. from Covington.
The other side of the planet.
Mark Covington from Mars.
Mark W. from Covington,
From Covington, Kentucky. Love the show. Keep it up.
Kentucky's also cool.
Danilo.
From Sao Paulo, Brazil.
Hey. Great show.
I still want Danilo? A listener in Africa.
Yeah, there's no... I don't think they have iPods.
There's not one person there that's
They're
listening.
Too busy, you know...
What?
Digging up
it's
diamonds and shit.
Country.
I don't know what they're doing over there.
It's true. It's a giant continent. There's parts of Africa that aren't...
They're dodging bullets.
People. You know, it's
they're,
a giant continent.
They're trying to find food.
That's our old way of thinking that it's a giant continent.
I don't know.
Are they called tribesmen?
It's a giant... There's people that are on the internet there, and someone must be listening to this podcast. Please...
Join the
Frapper. It would make me happy.
We're talking about, like, accusing you all about being hunting for food.
Yeah, yeah. Show him up. I want like 10 people.
South Africa's the lost world. There's like
dinosaurs.
There are dinosaurs that are still there. They're
they mapped
T-Rexes.
It all. You can go to Google Maps and see everything. It's not like there's a dragon drawn in the middle anymore.
The Four Hope Dragon in the sea.
That'd be dragons. you can also visit us at aroundcomics.com. We post next week's topic on Tuesdays at our forum. Remember, you can also visit us at comicspace.com/aroundcomics or myspace.com/aroundcomics.
Tom.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not paying attention. Thanks to Dan C. Papercut, he has made a fabulous wiki site all about the show. You can find information on past guests, top of the stack, and much more. You can also, speaking of wiki, look up Africa on Wikipedia. There's lots of interesting stuff going on there. Go to aroundcomics.pbwiki.com.
And we are proud members of the Comics Podcast Network. You can find more great podcasts at comicspodcasts.com.
And this episode is sponsored by Borders. Scotty.
Reading it. He's like Ron Burgundy. He reads whatever on the page.
Don't read the red tag.
Borders?
Borders?
Sink your teeth into... What? Oh, the story that introduced the world to Anita Blake, vampire hunter with biggie boobs.
What?
Get your copy of Guilty Pleasures by Laurel K. Hamilton. I'm going to call her Laura K. Hamilton. At your local Borders. Borders is your home for the tastiest fantasy novels. Find a store near you at borderstores.com.
And we are proud to help support the Hero Initiative. Hero creates a financial safety net for yesterday's creators who need emergency medical aid, financial support for essentials of life, and an avenue back into paying work. It's a chance for all of us to give back something to the people who have given us so much enjoyment. For more information, visit heroinitiative.org or call 310-909-7809.
And for... Sal, Scotty, Tom, I am Chris. I'd like to thank Mark for hosting us here at Dark Tower, as always. And I would like to thank you for listening.
Africans.
All the Africans
all
out there.
Hunters.
Antarctica, too.
Antarcticans.
You're in Antarctica.
We need to cover the continents. Come back on Thursday, where we're going to have a chat with up-and-coming artist Nicholas Scott.
My brother-in-law is from South Africa. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, get him to join the
He told me about this cool cleaner.
He doesn't listen to podcasts.
So anyway, come back Thursday. Nicholas Scott is going to be joining us. In the meantime.
In between the time.
We'll be everywhere in.
And around comics.
Comics.
Would like to suggest a topic? Send us your comments or are interested in becoming a panel member? Email us at info@aroundcomics.com or visit the Contact Us section of our website. Music for the show provided by the Pod Show PodSafe Music Network. music.podshow.com. Views expressed in the interviews or by guests of the show are solely those of the individuals expressing them and do not reflect the opinions of Around Comics. Thank you for listening today, and remember to join us next time when the panel will change, but our mission will stay the same, bringing you the very best news, reviews, and opinions in and around comics. Around Comics is a Pipe Dream production. Copyright 2007, all rights reserved. Love you, baby. Yeah.